Today's daf in Masechet Shvi'it, Yerushalmi, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Samach Vav. And we had already gotten up to the Halakha Mishnah, so that we're holding at Halacha Vav on Samach Vav, but in Perek Shmini. So it's 666, yes, but 6668. So let's take a look now at this Halakha Mishnah, and we're moving on to what is, it looks like it's talking about something else, but really isn't talking about something else. This is what's the topic been over here of our perek so far? The usages that are permissible for the perishvias, talking about achila and shtia, and the question of using it. Yesterday we spoke about for cleaning laundry or for dye stuffs and so on and so forth. Now we're going to go into the question of how it is that you have a right to actually process the Paris of Shvias. Now remember, this was a big, big machlokas that we had, we spoke about many, many times, all the way at the beginning of our discussions on Shemitah, when we were doing the Mishnayos, and we had the big machlokas, Rishonian, about how to understand the Pasuk, as in vain as Zirecha lo tiftsor, in the context of the question of whether you are allowed to do Betzira, or whether you're allowed to do Ketzira, Tzviach Ketzircha lo tiktsor. So we had a major machlokas about that. Obviously, as the Rambam points out, look, the Pasuk can't be saying that you're not allowed to harvest, because it says Beferish, that you are supposed to be eating it. How in the world are you supposed to be eating something if you're not allowed to pick it? So it can't mean what it's saying. And therefore, it means what the Sifra says that it's saying. That when it says lo tiftsor, it means lo tiftsor kiderech habotzrim. That you have to make a shinui. So that if you're going to be doing work to allow you to get to these perishvias, you cannot treat them as if they are non-perishvias. Now, the question is, as we spoke about way back at the beginning, the major machlokas between the Rash and the Rabbeinu Tam. The Rash understands that what this is referring to is that if someone was shomer his field, be'isr, and he did not allow people to come into that field, so then, in the end, if they weren't mufkarim, the only way that you would be allowed to take perot shmurim would be by making a shinui in how you take them. Because you have to be extra special careful in that case to show that you are not really the owner, and that therefore it's usher to treat it as if you are, which is kiderech habotzrim. You can't take it the way an owner would take it. But if it was really properly mufkar, so anybody can come in, over there, the Torah is not telling you not to act like a bialim, because anyway, nobody is the bialim. It's absolutely hefker. That's the Rashi's pshat. But the Rabbeinu Tam understands that in the event that you were shomer your peiros, those peiros are actually usur. Nobody can eat those peiros. Doesn't matter with a shinui, without a shinui. Nothing's going to be matir those peiros. So this is the shita that holds that peiros shmurim are asurim ba'achila. And that would be the obvious meaning of this pasuk. But what we're talking about over here is where the peirot were not shmurim, and afal pi kein, according to the Rabbeinu Tam, if you have kedusha shvias, then you have to treat these peiros in a special way that shows that they are mufkarim. And, okay, a question whether that's really a takana derabbanan along the lines of takanas that we spoke about earlier, to make it clear that we're dealing with something that has kedusha shvias, and that's the whole point, or whether it really is the meaning of the pasuk that you actually have to make midiraisa shinoi, that's a machlokas as well. So now, that because of this, we have different ways of understanding what the Mishnah is referring to. Is it referring to the change that you make in the act of Betzira, or is it referring to the change in the assertion of the ownership of the Betzira? There's two very different ways of understanding the Mishnah. Te'enim shel shvi'it, ein kotzino tam b'muktzeh. So now, this is where this machlokas kicks in. The pashtus is that a muktzeh is a special type of kli that is used and designed for being able to cut down te'enim. So that was called the muktzeh. You can't use the muktzeh because that would be the way that you always cut down te'enim. And therefore, you would not be making a shinoi in the derech habitzira, or the derech haketzira. So when it says lo tiktzor, and we darshan that to mean lo tiktzor kid derech hakotzrim, or lo tiktzor kid derech habotzrim, then the same thing would be true over here. Don't use your muktzeh knife, which is a special designed thing for te'enim. Don't use that for your te'enim. But you could avokotzotan becharba. Charba meaning a cherev, a regular knife, and that you could use. So this goes according to the shitas that understand that the shinui is in terms of the act of the betzira. And therefore, your knife is what's going to define the act. Now the Rambam learns that the point over here is not the act of betzira, but rather the assertion of the balut over the betzira. And therefore, he understands the word muktzah to mean what it means throughout the Hilchos Shabbos. It means a place which you keep for storage. So that would be the normal storage area for keeping figs. And that would mean if you put it into a special fixed storage shed, then you are acting like a bali. You don't need to make the change in the act, but you do need to make a change in how it is that you treat the peros. And his girsa, therefore, is kotze otam bechurba, not becharba. He's not talking about the difference between a cherev and a muktzah. He's talking about a difference in places. You can do it in a churva, which is, that's not a place that you would normally dry out your figs. So therefore, it's mutter, because you're not treating them like you own them. But to put them into your drying shed, which is where you would always put them, that you're not allowed to do, because then you are acting as if you're the owner and treating them like they're your commercial figs that you've been gathering every year. That you're not allowed to do. Okay, so basically, the question would be in this issue of where it is that you make the shinoi. That there's also those who try to learn that to be kotze is a lashon of kitziot. I don't find that any of the Rishonim actually agree to that. So I'm not going to even bring in that chat. So, okay. A chlokas, therefore, is between a shinoi in the act or a shinoi subsequently. Ein dorchim anavim bagat. So, you also, the normal way that you would treat grapes would be that you would put them into the normal grape press. You can't do that, because then you're treating them as if these are your normal grapes. Avodorechu ba'ariva, you could use the ariva that's normally used for making your challah, putting your dough in. So, okay, you take that large, you know, I mean, it's obviously not a gat, but you can tread on your grapes in a big container like that. Same thing is true if we're talking about getting oil out of your olives. Eino sin zeitim babad. Don't bring them to the normal oil press, because that is miyuchat to the commercial processing. But there's also a question. Babad ubakotev. So what exactly is ubakotev? This is also a big machlokas. So some learn, this is the Rambam, he learns that a kotev is an alternative to a beit habad, and it's basically a smaller, but not a normal commercial scale beit habad. Masha Einkin, the Rasha understands it, that it is one thing, but badu bekotev, the kotev meaning the very heavy weight that you put on top of the bad, to add additional pressure. So that you can't do. Avokoteshu, you would be allowed to crush these grapes, to crush these olives, and then you put them into a budida. So budida is not a normal beit habad at all. It's a small type of container that a householder would use to let the juice drip out of the crushed olives. It's not the normal way that you would start to get clean olive oil. Over here, you grind it up first. Rabbi Shimon Omer, you could even grind it in the grinder in the Beit Habad. And then afterwards, you can bring it to the Budida. Because that's also a tremendous shinui, because you're basically not actually pressing the oil in the Beit Habad. The oil is being pressed out in your house, in this, the budida is a hand type of kli that you use for letting the oil drip out. And so you'll say, but you went ahead and you used the Beit Habad for the grinder. That's okay. We only need a shinoi katan, according to Rabbi Shimon. So now, the basis of our Gemara's discussion is to try to fully understand the psukim of Sviach Tzircha Lo Tiftzor, In vain is Yirecha lo tiftzor. And our Gemara brings up an issue that we never really addressed before. And that is, why are we using a language of Sviach? What does Sviach have to do with it? There's an awfully big difference between the first part of the Pasuk and the second part of the Pasuk. The first part of the Pasuk is talking about Svichim of some type. Now, Svichim is, remember, the Lashon of Svachenina Le'achad. Svachenina means, I should be like an afterthought. I would like to be part of the family. That's Sviach. So Sviach would mean not the main kotzir, not the main harvest, but something that's hanging on. It grew afterwards. So it's a secondary growth. What in the world is that referring to? Because when we were talking about the Betzira, it just said, In vain is Yirecha. Yeah, well, that's what I would expect. In vain is Yirecha is referring to the grapes that have grown and are ready for harvesting. There it says, Lo Tiftzor. So what is it meant by adding the word Sviach? So, I mean, one way of understanding is to say that if you have Svichim, now this is not the Gezeira of Svichim, obviously, that we refer to later on, and we're talking about in the past, which is a Gezeira de Rabbanan. That's not what the Torah could possibly be referring to, because we don't have a concept of Svichim, meaning things that grew on their own. So it would mean a secondary growth. What would be a secondary growth? So, but Pashtas, that would be referring to Peres Shishis that remained behind, and now you want to collect them all together with the peiros that have grown now during Shvias. And it's saying you're not even allowed to collect that. That's Sviach Ketzircha. Is that really true? It's actually Aser HaKetzira Keneged HaKotzrim Lo? You're not allowed to take the sixth-year produce and treat it the way you would your normal stuff? I mean, I thought right throughout the Masechet, we keep saying that if it's Shishis, it's Mutar. And now you're saying, no, even if it's Shishis, it's Aser. What would that mean? Omer Rebbe La, imenu inyan l'sviche heter. Look, I mean, obviously, we're not going to say that the Pasuk violates the entire concept of things that matured during Shvias and matured during Shishis. I mean, we learned that out from so many diyukim and the Pesukim before. If it was magia to shlish gidula, if we're talking about the actual din of Tvua, which is what it's referring to over here. So it can't be telling us against everything that we learned out before. So therefore, in Eino Inyan L'Svichei Heter, it must be talking about a Remes to Svichei Iser. So those things that actually were matured during Shvias, and you're not allowed to take them, but you can take them. Shalom K'derech HaKotzri. That's the point. So that even these things, which would have been Aser during Shemitah, you're allowed to pick. And it's telling us that there's no Iser in using them, but you need to change the way you do it. Omer Rebbe Mana, actually, it's not what it's referring to. Lo Nitzracha, you're right, it's an Imeinu Inyan. But the Imeinu Inyan that's referring to are things that grew on their own. Same way we use the word Svichim now, after the Gezeira D'Rabbanan. And what it's referring to is Kisha'olu Me'alehem. There's a big difference between Svichim that come up because they were leftovers of your previous harvest. So over there, it very often happens that there's going to be, you're going to drop seeds or drop grain, which then germinates into your next year's crop. So that would be a leftover of your actual cuts here. But then there are seeds that blow in from nowhere. You never saw this plant growing anywhere near your field, and all of a sudden, you left the field fallow, and now it came up on its own. That's what it's referring to. So what it's saying is, Shelo tomar hoil va'alume aleihem, yiyu mutarim. You would think that maybe the dinim of shviyas are only chal on something that a person planted. But if it came up by itself, there's no din of Kedusha Shvias on it. Therefore, it wants to tell me that you can't do a normal Katsira, even if the field grew up on its own, and you have to treat it with the same Shinuyim that you would have treated things that you actually planted. And the Braita says, Et Sviach Katsircha lo tiktsor, Vet Invei Nizirecha lo tiftsor. Now, this is, of course, the Gemara that becomes this big question of how to learn in terms of the Machlokas, the Rashi, and the Rabbeinu Tam. So it says over here in the Braita, not referring to the first part of Sviach Yitzircha, but actually referring to the last part, Invei Nizirecha. So what it's saying is, why do you think that it keeps stressing yours, Yitzircha, Nizirecha? So what that is saying is that min hashamur ba'aretz ein at botzera. The pasuk is saying you must not take anything that you kept as your own. Now that's the machlokas. That means you must not take at all, and it's mamish aser if it was shamur. Or does it mean you must not take it if you're going to treat it the way you would normally treat it, but you have to make shinoi? Okay, that was the big machlokas that we said, that enochinami, that according to the Rabbeinu Tam, what the way he understands the Gemara is, that you cannot take it at all. That's the first thing, Rabbi. And then, lo tiftzor, those things that you are allowed to actually be botzer, you can't be botzer either, meaning kiderech ha-botzrim. Mikan amru, this is the basis of the halacha, that the einim shel shviyas en kotzinotan b'muktze, avokotze hu b'charva, not like with Rambam's learning, which is b'churva. Ein dorchim anavim begat, avodorechu b'areva, because you are mechuyav to make a shinoi. Again, how to learn the Gemara, whether it means, and even those things that were shamur, you can do this way, or whether it means, and as opposed to the things were shamur, which you can never use, even those things which were not shamur have to be dealt with in this way. Fine, that's a machlokas. Both pshatim can be fitted into the Mishnah. Now, when the Mishnah said, "Ein osim zeitim babad ubekutve," so that we're assuming that means a bad that has a kutve, meaning that it's got additional weight on it. For abotenu, hitiru lasot bekutve, which again, those who learn that's referring to two different things. So you can't use the normal screw process, which increases pressure by screwing, pressing down with a screw device that adds pressure to the boards that are there. But you can't just take a heavy weight and put it down on it. That would mean that you could use just the heavy weight, according to those who say that it means bekutve, or you can even use an additional heavy weight besides the normal way that you would squeeze it. Now, Rabbi Yochanan, hori le'ilan de Rabbi Yanai. Rabbi Yochanan told people that were working in Rabbi Yanai's produce that they are allowed to be tochein berechaim, Rabbi Shimon. They could take the olives and they could actually grind them up. The Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah, as long as the end result is that you treat them differently, you can actually use some of the professional tools in the olive press. He was makel, like Rabbi Shimon, and he was also makel in this issue of the kotvi, and he said you can also use the press with the actual additional weight, like the Rabbonin of the Brisa. So because Shvias Mishmanah says the Rabbonin, so he was very makel on that issue. Okay, tomorrow we'll learn about further Kulos or Chumas Lekabe, utilizing the value in perishvias? Can you pay for the workers that we already started discussing in the mission about the bakery and the exchange of doing a favor, bringing perishvias? And we'll talk about the machlokas and that, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow. And we thank Avi now that he's safely back home. I don't know how you got back home so fast. Well, you're pretty good. Wonderful. But we're glad to see you safe and sound after going through all of that mud. I'm assuming you might need a shower or some change of clothes. But we thank you. All right, everybody, Kol Tov and Halavai, that we are zoicha not to look at the news reports today. That definitely would be a Besura Teva. And we should.
Sorry, Rebbe, just one question. I'm not understanding which part. You can use the oil from Shvi's, but you have to treat it as Shvi's oil. Which, what are we asking?
Oh, no, most definitely. We're not talking about the Kedusha.
So what are you forbidding
her? We're not talking about the Kedusha Shvi's. We're talking about the way in which you get the Paris, or the way you store or you actually process that. We said it's about Chlokas Rishonim, that besides the din of what you can use it for, there's also a din of Kedusha Shvi'as in the modality of using it, either in the actual katsira of it, when you pick it, or in the storage of it, or in the processing of it. Those are the different shittas that we have.
So it can't be used for industrial purposes, but for personal purposes, that way it's allowed. If they're all good,
No. That was a
just the sensitivity.
No. You're confusing two totally different issues. The din of la'ochla v'lo'l'schora, that's the problem of industrial. The question of the modality, that's something completely different. That is not the difference between industrial and non-industrial. It's the difference between acting as if this is regular stuff and or acting as if this is your stuff. That's the machlokas in the Rishonim. What's the main point? So if you're not acting as if this is yours, okay, so then that means you can't store it the way you would store your own things, in the same way that you would do it. And you can't process it the way you would process your own things, as if it was roi for tzchora. The other approach is that you're not given the rights to look like the owner in the field when you're coming in. You're going to come in with a tractor? What are you doing here with a tractor? You want to come in and take out some pears for yourself? Please, it's wide open. Don't walk in here with a whole machinery of acting as if, oh, well, the Torah said it's Efker, I'm going to come in and be the owner. You can't be the owner. But that was the machlokas that we had. Okay, Rabbosai, I hope that clarifies things, but it expands very much the nature of our perek, the way in which you have rights to perishvias, whether it's in terms of how you consume them, how you pick them, how you process them, or how you store them. Lovely.
As long as we're done, let me just say that when a date tree has reached its full life and not expected to live anymore, then they cut a hole in the top. In Tunisia, in the Sahara, they cut a hole in the top and it thinks it's growing a new branch, so it has to send up sap. And that sap is made into a delicious drink called legme, which can be drunk straight or fermented. They can't ship it because it ferments on its own, and my mechutin says it busted the bottle in the airport. He was taking a bottle back in there.
Oh, wow.
Right? So you can only drink it there. But that will probably kill the tree. But that's, you do it only at the end when you have tens of millions of trees. Wow. So then you have enough to go around. But that's its last chias, is give me the leg meat drink.
Wow, it's unbelievable. That's amazing. The truth is, there was actually a pirush in the sugya. When it said, let's eat korayu, show me the korayu, I explained it according to the shittas that I learned. It's mikorayu, means the roots, the mikar. But there's others that learn, let's have from its kora, which would be referring mamash to this.
Right, or the palm heart. We're going to kill the tree, but you know.
Let's at least enjoy its last produce. Interesting. What'd you say it was called again?
Leg me,
wow.
Leg me. But also just, you see everything made out of date palms. Houses, parts of roofs, the fences, the irrigation systems.
Wow.
Every part of the tree, that's the culture. It's staggering.
Beautiful, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing. Okay, may we be zocha not to go on a tiyul to Chutzlaretz, but to go on a tiyul to Eretz Yisroel, when we've expanded into those palm tree areas.
We'll take Rav Ariel and we'll be in Eretz Israel the whole time.
That's correct. So we had the Mishnah about the way in which you need to make a shinui. And we had, went through in detail the machlokas and how the various Rishonim understand the nature of the shinui that you need to make. And remember that way back at the beginning, when we went over the dinim of Shemitah, we pointed out that there's major differences over here in how to understand where the shinuyim need to be made. Do they need to be made in the case of Shamur, where you were over on the Isser of Shamur, and now if you want to be able to use it when it was Shamur, you're going to have to make a shinui, or whether Shamur remains Usser forever, no matter what, we'll discuss the Shitas again later on today, whether Shamur remains Usser forever, and the idea of the Torah saying that Lo Tiftzor and Lo Tiktzor refers to those elements of Shemitah that are mutter, but they're only mutter if you don't deal with them as if you are the owner, and that you always need to make a shinui in the Betzira or the Getzira of Shemitah. Okay, but we had the various lists of the things that you can do, what's considered to be a shinui, how long you have to keep being Isaac in the shinui. These were machlokas in the Mishnah. So now, we'll go directly to the Gemara after the Mishnah that talks about the understanding of the Pasuk. And the understanding of the Pasuk is basically where we have that big Machlokas Rishonim. So we know the whole thing is really based on the strange Pasuk that starts off our confusion. On the one hand, the Torah said that the Peres of your Shvias are there Lachem Lochla. Laita Shabbasa Aretz Lachem Lochla. Including for your behema and for the chayash abasadeh, from where we learn out the din of biur, but you're meant to be eating this. And yet, on the other hand, the Torah says you're not meant to be taking it. It says sviak tzircha lo tiktzor, vet in vein izirecha lo tiftzor. So I don't understand. On the one hand, I'm supposed to be eating it, but I'm not allowed to take it. So how do I eat it? I go out into the sada and I bite it off of the ground. I mean, what does the pasuk mean? That is like the fundamental question of, okay, so what's the balance that the Torah is trying to give us? So since it says it's sviach tzircha lo tiktzor, now remember that sviach is a strange way of referring to the halacha, because when it talks about the grapes, it doesn't talk about svichim, it talks about the grapes, in vei nezirecha. Why, when it comes to the ktsira, does it call it sviach tzircha? Sviach tzircha means sort of the leftovers or things that came on their own, or the word sefiach, remember, comes from the sefachenina, where we learn out from the old parsha of Tzaras, sapachat, meaning it's secondary, sefachenina, allow me to be part of your family, of the Kohanim, when you're thrown out of the Kohanim, and so on. It means like a secondary type of, an ancillary growth, we can call it, right? So, okay, it's very strange, but it's saying, kitzircha, lo tiftzor, nezirecha lo tiftzor. Okay, so then we understand that there's two very special issues over here, and this is what gets us involved in all the machlokas. First of all, it says yours. It stresses the yours, ketzircha, the nezirecha. And furthermore, it also uses the technical terms. Now, I mean, it didn't need to get so technical to put into the pasuk the technical terms that, remember, differ in Lashon HaKodesh for every single type of thing that you take from the field. There's another word for its harvest. So instead of saying, lo tikach, don't take it for yourself, what it says is, well, don't do the ketzira when it comes to the tefua, don't do the bitzira when it comes to the grapes. I mean, why is it that we're getting so technical? So those things actually get us thinking. So first of all, in terms of the technicality, if it's telling us not to do the technical katsira and batsira, then it seems to be allowing lekicha as long as it's not a batsira or a katsira. So the big difference between going into a field and hand-picking some grapes or hand-picking some grains, which we would never call a ketzira, we would never call that a betzira, that's just taking. So apparently that's what the point of the pasuk is, that you would be allowed to take it as long as you don't do it in the way that would be so normal that we would call it a ketzira, or that we would call it a betzira, right? So now, let's take the first words, the svia ketzircha. So what are we saying? That ketzira, ki neged ha-kotzrim lo, So we're saying that you would not be allowed, this is what you seem to be saying, you would not be allowed to do a real katsira, even though what we're talking about is svichim. Now, remember that there's the big issue of svichim that we know according to Rabbi Akiva, things that grow on their own. So svichim, if you take it in that way, there's big machlokas according to Rabbi Akiva, there's a concept minyuraisa of the notion of svichim, which he brings from here. But according to Rabbanan, svichim is entirely a gezera derabbanan, where we assert things that grew up on their own. That's not what we're talking about here. The Gemara understands that the sviach kitzirecha is a reference to the leftovers from your previous kitzira. Meaning, so what's saying, even if you had things that had been planted in the Shana HaShishit, and they were already Magia L'Shlish, remember our sugya earlier, that the shear that defines their growth vis-a-vis Shemitah, and there'll be a lot of issues, when it comes to grains, is 1/3. Okay, so when it's saying it is from the Shana HaShishit, and it's only still here, and therefore we're calling them the Svichim that are going to be secondary harvestings along with anything that grew in the seventh year, I don't understand. I thought that things that mature in the sixth year are not called Bereshis. Why is the Torah now telling me you're not allowed to take the leftovers of the sixth year? They're not Bereshis. Why can't I do that? So says Rabbi La, look, we have a halacha of what's called the Imeno Inyan Lezeh, Tineo Inyan Lezeh. So obviously we can't understand that the nature of the Svichim is referring to Svichi Heter. That makes no sense. So it can't be referring to the leftovers in the sense of something that was already got al shlish b'shana hashishi. Okay, so then what it's telling me is that in the event that actually it wasn't got al shlish b'shishis, and it only reached the level of shlish gidulei, so that's gufa, what it's coming to tell me, that things that grew really in shviyas, even though they had been planted in shishis and they'd started growing, but if they only completed the halacha, I mean, the level of shlish gidulam, then the halacha of perishmias will apply to them. And that's basically what it's saying. That those things that are shlish gidulam only was reached during shmias, even if it's like the first day of shmias, that's it. They have a dinner perishmias, and therefore you're not allowed to take them any more than you would be allowed to take the perishmias itself. And you have to make a shinui in order to be able to take them. Rabbi Mana says, that's not the Imeno Inyan. The Imeno Inyan is like this. It doesn't mean Svichim the way you think. Svichim means leftovers of Shana HaShishit. It is referring to real Svichim, meaning, Lekach Nitzrecha Bisha Alumi Alehem. It's talking about over here, nobody planted it at all. You have wind-blown seeds, and they ended up growing up here all on their own. So we're talking about wild things, and those are the things that we call svichim, and that's what it's telling me. So it's saying, im eno inyan for the svichim of the leftovers of the peres of the shishis, which are completely mutter because they were got al shlish. And therefore, it's coming to tell me that if they didn't end up growing because you never planted them, that's why. And there's svichim in the sense of the field produced them on its own. So if we would have had this pasuk with the Yemeno Inyan, I would have said, Shalot Tumar, Hoil Vealumi Aleim Yumitarim, that the Torah only asserted the dinam of Shrias when somebody did work on Shrias. That's what you would think. Kamash Malan, Yemeno Inyan, Lepera Shishis, Neo Inyan, Lealumi Aleim. And therefore it's coming to tell me that it is usher to take them as long as you're doing it without a shinui, and the im eno inyan is that you need to make a shinui even on things that were olumi alayhem. Now, obviously, later on, the Rabbanan came and asserted it b'achila b'chlal. That's the gezeira of svichin. That's a totally different issue. Remember, the isser of achila svichin is not what we're talking about over here. What we're talking about over here is the isser of being harvesting as a normal katsira or as a normal Betzira, and that you're not allowed to do. That's the point. And there's also a braita that actually looks at the second part that we didn't talk about yet, which is the Inve Nizirecha Lo Tivtzar. We've been looking at the Svichim issue, But Lamaisa says the Braita, it says in the Pasuk, not only it's fiach kitzircha lo tiktzar, it also says, es in vein zirecha lo tiktzar. So what is that telling me? That is telling me that if it's yours, I want to talk about the nezirech. I don't want to talk about the technicalities of Katsira and Betsira. Okay, fine. You dealt with the technicalities in terms of taking things without doing it in the normal way. Kederech HaKotzrim, or the Gemara here in the Yerushalmi calls it Keneged HaKotzrim. The Rambam's Pesach is Kederech HaKotzrim, right? That's, I don't want to look at that. I want to look at the fact that it uses the possessive. These are yours. They're Sviach Katsircha. These are your grapes. They're in vein zirecha. That's what it's talking about. And it's coming to tell me, halacha, you are not allowed to take the peres that are yours. How are they yours? It's Shemitah. You were a bad boy and you kept it for yourself and you didn't allow people into your seder and you weren't mafkir your peres. That's called shamur. So min ha-shamur ba'aretz einat botzer. You do not have a right to be botzer, anything that is yours. So botzea at min ha-mufkar. Yes, you could take things if your field was mufkar. That is item number one, okay? And that's focusing on the possessive. Furthermore, now I want to talk about the utilization of the technical words of betzira and getzira. So in addition to that limitation, lo tiftzar means kederach habotzrim. You can't do a betzira. Yes, but you would still be able to do it if you do it not as a betzira. You just sort of take it. And that's why our Mishnah said that the einim shel shviit ein kotzin otam b'muktzeh avo kotzehu b'charva. That's basically what our Mishnah was referring to when the Mishnah made the difference. made the difference with how you do it, it was referring to exactly this point. So that you need to make a change in it. And okay, now as we mentioned before, we have this major machlokas, whether these two things are meant to be based on each other. In other words, remember that the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, as we've explained many times, back in the, even in the introduction that we took, so the sheet of the Rabbeinu Tam, and this is very harsh of a shita that the Gra takes la halacha, that these two things are not meant to be one on top of the other. They're two completely different issues that the Pasuk is talking about. Number one, shamur is usur, period. It's not that you can then take the shamur and use it in a way that is not kederach hakotzrim and kederach habotzrim. First, there's an iser of the possessive. Anything which is possessed is usur. Then there's an iser that doesn't stress the possessive. It's as if the pasuk was two separate psukim. One is the zirecha and the tzirecha is you can't have at all. Then there's the other aspect. You can't do a katsir and you can't do an bitsir. But that has nothing to do with the possessive. That's a separate iser. If you have peres that are mutter, then they're only mutter with the shinoi of not doing a normal katsira and not doing a normal betzira. That is Rabbeinu Tam's approach, in which case shomor is an actual iser, deraisa. You're not allowed to take peres that were shmurim in shvias, and which we are mekel on. But anyway, as I said, this is the Rabbeinu Tam of the Gemara. It's very chomor. And in terms of a Shemitah B'zman HaZeh, which is the Rabbanan, so fine. We're making on that. Masha Enkein, as we know, the Rash's approach, I mean, there's plenty of other Rishonim involved, but the Rash's approach is the way we just read it now. Namely, the two things are based one on the other. First of all, if it's yours, so then you can't just take it. But even when it is yours, the problem is only doing a kotzir or a botzir of yours. But if it's not done as a kotzir and a botzir, and it's not done keneged hakotzrim or keneged habotzrim, then you would be allowed to take even shomur. Masha ein kein, if it isn't shomur, then there's no problem of doing a katsira, and you don't have to make a shinui. Fine? These are two very different approaches. All right. So now, based on that, let's take a look at how we understand now the Mishnah. So we had in the Mishnah the din that said that you need to ein osim zeitin bevadu bekotvin. You need to make a shinui, and we talked about the nature of the shinui is not utilizing a kotvin. Now, a kotvin is an additional weight that you put on to the wood. So we had two issues.
Rabbi, just because Rabbi's reviewing the God issue first.
Yes, thank you, Bernier.
Rabbi's hard-pressed for time.
It's kind of you to be kind. I've also got a lot of weights on my head. Okay. So now, at Tzviach Tzircha, we said, it means Kederach HaBotzrim, and Mikan Amru, that's where we got to the Mishnah, and my Mishnah, I ended up skipping ahead. That's why it says in the Mishnah, that Te'inim Shal Shviyas, Ein Kotzer Oto B'Mukta, Avo Kotzu B'Charva, and Ein Dorchim Oto Megat, Avo Dorechu B'Ariva. Now, we also had the additional question of, are you allowed to do your Zesim in the bod, or, and it's not clear, with a kotvi. So sorry for all the noises. It's ridiculous. So now, in the Braita, it says, Rabotenu, hitiru lasot bekotvi. That if you're not using a bod, then the kotvi was only mentioned in conjunction with the bod. But if you're using, let's say, the areva, which is a large bowl that you usually use for kneading bread, then you could even use a kotvi. And you can't have it both ways. You can't use, in the bod, you can't use a kotvi. So Rabbi Yochanan, halacha l'maaseh, he told the people that were working for Rabbi Yanai, Hori le'ilan de Rabbi Yanai, litkon berechai to Rabbi Shimon. So he said, first of all, the Mishnah says that Aliba to Rabbi Shimon, you're allowed to actually grind your olives, which is not what we would normally do. You can do this even in the bod, and you can grind them up. And that he was making, and allowed you to do that. And he gave another kula. And he said, you can also utilize a weight, lasot bekotvi kerabanan. So in other words, basically, he put together, it was very meiko, and he said that since Shviyas Bizman HaZeh is the Rabbanan, so it's okay to be Semech on both of these kulas. Okay, that's the way most of the Mefarshim understand the Gemara. The Rambam apparently understood that these two things are meant to be put together, that they're not two kulas. So the Rambam brings it that it's mutter to grind first and then use a kotvi. That's what it's saying. Not that you can use the kotvi. In other words, normally the kotvi is not used for a case where you grind it up. Grinding it up is not the proper way to get a high quality olive oil. So that after you normally would press the olives and you've gotten everything out of it, then you can go for the secondary level or tertiary level of olive oil and grind it up and so on. And then you can actually put a weight on the ground up. So according to the Rambam, what it's saying is, if you use the most low class processing for the olives, so then it's mutters. If you already ground it, then you can use the kotvi, which is totally different than the way the Rishonim here learned that Rabbi Yochanan is being mekel two separate kulas, adarabba. He's saying that if you already messed them up, then you can rely on the kula of the kotvi. Okay, and there was another thing that Rabbi Yochanan had said, Binogea, the Rabbi Yanai's people who were working, and he said there's another problem in terms of the money that you're paying these people. Can you use the actual produce that they're working on to pay them for the work that they're doing on that produce? So Rabbi Yochanan was already late, Linda Bates Rabbi Yanai. He also was machmir that when you're paying the people that are working for you in Rabbi Yanai's home, so if they've been working on these olives, you can't pay them with any of the shemen that they're working on. You have to pay them in cash. Now, we know we had the Mishnah before, just recently, that you're not allowed to pay up any kind of debt with your shvias. That's all part of bischira. But the question would be, if somebody is be'etzem working on the lo'ochla. So remember we had the case where you said, here, take a half a buck and pick me some vegetables. So we said, okay, if you didn't say pick me ba for it, in which case it would be similar to the sale of the vegetables, then it would be osur b'schira. It's two totally different things. You're paying a guy to do the dirty work for you of going out there and bending and picking up the things, but you're not telling him, you know, you sell me the Paris. Even though it boils down to the same issue, you're going to get that amount of value in vegetables. But the point is, we said that, remember that that was one of these halakhas that were They wanted you to be able to cover your tracks, as we put it. In this case, you would think that if somebody, in the same way you're allowed to eat shvias, so if somebody is working on making you what to eat in shvias, so then that is mutter because it's l'achla. So you're paying basically for achla. He's saying, even though they're working on the shvias, and they're making olive oil for you, you have to pay them in money, and you can't pay them in shvias. Now, this means that Rabbi Yochanan was going, according to what we said before, back in the Mishnah, two Mishnayos ago, so we had the Machlokas over there, and Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Nechemiah, they were makbid, and that was talking about the case of where you wanted to pay the bakery. So it says over there, it depends how you say it over there also. Now, if you say, you know, when I end up, I'm going to be going out to the field, I'm going to be getting some veggies, I'll bring you the veggies, why don't you give me some bread? So over there, Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Nechemiah say, you're not allowed to do that because you're basically paying a debt. Okay, so if that's the case, then it would mean that he was going like Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Nechemiah, and he was saying, if you're paying for the what you could say is paying for the actual value of the food, so you're paying for achla, what we say is no, you owe money for the work, and basically in that case you're not allowed to pay up a debt. So this would be the equivalent of paying up a debt. So in other words, how do I figure the sheet of Rabbi Yudah and Nechemiah? So Rabbi Yochanan Shita is, everybody is made that obviously to pay up a credit card, so now you owed money to the bakery. Of course you can't do that, because that's directly a din of l'schora. And not only that, if you walked out with the bread, you didn't tell the guy in advance that I'm going to pay you, I'm going to be bringing you a picnic of perishvias, that's basically the same as putting it on your credit card. If you said up front that I'm going to be bringing you stuff, okay, so in that Mishnah, we understand that what you really want to do is not pay for the bread, but rather we want to pay, I want to share the trouble that you're going to, baking bread for me, and I'm going to give you also food that I'm going to enable you to have, and that will be our picnic. So over there, The Mishnah is saying that you have a right in that case to do it, because what you're doing is you're taking work on achla, and that is using you're exchanging the la'achla for la'achla. So that's mutter. Lasha'in came, Rabbi Yudah and Rabbi Nechemiah or Machmer over there, they hold that even in the case where somebody is working b'feirish on la'achla, he's making your bread for you to eat, even that you're not allowed to use the actual produce of shvias to pay. And that's why he told the Elon, the Beit Rabbi Yonai, you're going to have to pay in cash. Now, Tani, this question seems to be the point of the Braita. Braita says like this. You've got people who are working for FedEx, and they are bringing perish shvias, and they're giving it out to various households, right? So you've got the chamarim, you've got the donkey drivers, you have the katafim, you have the sabalim who carry it on their backs, or whatever, anybody who is working with perish shvias. So money that is paid to them as a din of shvias. What? What is that supposed to mean? What do you mean, as a din of shvias? It becomes kaddish b'kedusha shvias. I mean, that's for sure not true. Because it says beferish, I mean, that was the mission we had before. that's a defarish. If you gave somebody money in order to pick the veggies for you, and it's clear that you were ma'am aim and there's a paying you for the work, there's no din of it's being answered for B'Kedusha Shvi'is. What would be the meaning over here? So what does that mean, those words, that it's all Scharim Shvi'is? Says Rabbi Zer, I'll explain to you. What it means is the Braita is talking about nobody's doing anything wrong. And basically, we're dealing with Heter. In other words, we're not talking about Shomur, and we're not talking about Lachris Mana Biur. Nobody's doing anything wrong in that Mishnah. The field was Hefker, and basically, we want to give out the Shvi'is, and that's fine. Great, people being Isaac ben Mitzvah. So when it says Scharan Shvi'it, what does it mean? It means that you can take the Shvi'is for your Schar. Meaning, their schar can be paid with shvi'it. Now, that's exactly the issue that we were talking about over here with Rav Yochanan. The price is not saying that it becomes shvi'is, Adarava. It's saying your mutter to pay it with shvi'it. So this is a kula, according to Rabbi Zera. Now, the problem is, you're going to ask, so what do I do with the fact that Rabbi Yochanan said the opposite? Because that's, in order to make it work out, so some of the Mefarshim change the words via hey, because it's a kasha. Instead, Rabbi Zera spoke out the answer to the kasha himself. Vahi, as far as that psak of Rabbi Yochanan, who said that you're not able to do that, Vahi, the hurried Rabbi Yochanan, leilo debate Rabbi Yana. And he said you're not allowed to take the olives for the schar. You have to pay him davka in cash. Shaloye notlim. But the Shemen Elamaot, how do I explain that if I'm posturing that you can pay them with the actual things that they're bringing? That was going, like we said, that was going specifically like Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah all along. We explained that he understands Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemiah saying even money for the actual work on La Ochla is awesome. Rabbi Elaz says, not like Rabbi Zera, no. The Braisa is definitely not talking about people that are doing heter and a nice mitzvah, giving people out peres and shvias. No! These guys are bums. And they are mechatve peres avera imatznias. What the Braisa over here is talking about, a guy who is doing schora. He wants to collect the shvias. He's going to be doing iser. Or he's collecting from shomor, alib de rabinatam. Or he's collecting from leachar zman abi. Or whatever the case is. It's not talking about nice, innocent people. So this guy is being Isaac in Isser. So when it says Scharan Shvi'it, what does it mean? It's the same as Rabbi Abo quoted Rabbi Yochanan, that people that work with Yayin Esach, and they deliver the Yayin Esach to the stores and make money off of that, and that you help in them, you're a Messiah, de Avera. So then we assert with a Knas that the money that you made on it is also usher. And the same thing is true over here. And in any case where, even though normally when you're Isaac in Isser, there's no din of it's being teifes, the mammon of the work that you do, but that's because, remember we talked about this beferish when we were talking about Orla. That's because Orla is not teifes as domav, right? Pork bellies are not teifes as domav, and so on. The only thing that are teifes as domav is the din of Avodah Zarah and Shvi'is. So they're teifes in as domav. So in the same way that the Torah were teifes as domav, the Rabbanan were teifes the domim, so to speak, with this takana. But they're not going to make up a din that anybody who's Isaac and Isser, his money becomes Aser, where the Torah itself didn't Aser it. So therefore, when we say Scharan Shvi'is, we mean just like we find by Yayin Nezah, where Teifes as Domav is extended by the Rabbana to even Aser the money that you were being paid to do the work on. Here too, since there's a din of Tvisa by Shvi'is, the Rabbana gave you a Knas, and that's what it means with tremendous Kiddush, Scharan Shvi'is. We give it the same din as the Kiddusha of whatever it is that they were working on. If it was Lachas Manabir, it's Usser, and therefore their money that they were paid is Usser. Okay, so that brings us up, Bezrat Hashem, tomorrow, to be able to start Halacha Zayin and to continue on. Fascinating, fascinating din in Mamish. Totally different approaches here in the Yerushalmi. Lovely to see. And I look forward to seeing you tomorrow.